thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. It's Halloween, bruh. Halloween.
Halloween don't mean a thing to me.
You know what? I would love to snatch some kids' candy, though. Not like, that don't sound right. Ooh, pause. That sounds like Law & Order SVU. That don't sound right at all.
Man.
All I want, no, I'm be honest with you, all I want is like some Three Musketeers, though. I would do some Kit Kats and Three Musketeers.
Well, you're doing that. You're doing well in life, so you can go afford and go to the, you know, to the corner store that's close to the studio and pick that up.
I will do that. I will do that, man. And I want all the kids out there, you know, parents, people who participate in the Halloween, to be safe. You know, because to me, it's still a dangerous time.
Absolutely,
right?
It's still, I'm not. I haven't been much of a trick or treater.
Me either. Not in my life.
When I was young, I never really participated in the event or holiday, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand why some people get excited for it. You know, they get to be something or someone they aren't.
And I'm sorry, you're listening to the Urban Sports Center. I'm Wally, Will T. Ray. Go say, dive into that again.
What?
Somebody they aren't? Like
someone or somebody that they aren't. They get to dress up and get to imagine that they're someone or someone they aren't.
That is hilarious. And also, I want to give a shout out to my one of the people that has had a big, who I thought highly of. She passed away a while ago, to be honest with you. I want to say we're in 2017. I want to say about 4 years ago. Belle Waring, this is her birthday. Happy birthday, Belle. Miss you. You're in heaven right now. Cancer is a bitch. I hate cancer. It's the worst thing in the world. She's a lady that took who thought so highly of me, even when I didn't think highly of myself. And she pretty much gave me, she added confidence in me. You know, I'll say that. She added confidence in me. I always feel like I'm a confident individual, but she used to tell me, Wally, you're destined for big things. And I really did appreciate that at the time. So RIP, Belle, miss you, love you. I know God's looking, God's got you. And also, I know you're probably annoying him at the same time, because at times you used to annoy me in a good way. It was like in a lovely way. So RIP, Belle.
Okay, let's get into our tradition to pregame.
All right. Here are our topics. The Redskins losing to the Dallas Cowboys 33-19.
Called that out.
It's okay. You and Ray called it out. It's all good. At 8:20, the Redskins' upcoming game against the Seattle Seahawks. And we'll pose a question about Kirk Cousins' market next season. You know,
don't think he doesn't have options.
He does. You don't think he has the many options?
Let me read.
He has options. He has options.
I don't want people to think he doesn't have options. He still has plenty of options.
Of course he has options. Everybody has an option, right?
Mm-hmm.
At 8:30, boxer and trainer Derek Matthews will join us to talk boxing.
Sweet science.
You know it, man. At 8:45, we'll make our NFL Week 9 picks.
Leader.
Yeah, you still leading? I'm in last place. I did so well Week 1. Now I'm in last place. That hurts, man. It hurts a person like me.
I told y'all what was going to happen. It's not
like
you didn't know.
And anyway, the Redskins lost to the Dallas Cowboys 33-19. You saw the game. What were your thoughts of the game?
I think after the blocked field goal attempt,
mm-hmm.
that pretty much took the desire out of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Washington played a very close game, even though I thought that they would be outmatched. They proved me wrong during the first half. They didn't make too many turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receivers not making catches. Once again, we're talking about the same thing with a lack of a running game, which amazes me. What, 8 weeks into the season,
mm-hmm.
and you saw the injuries to the decimated defensive line. You know what Ezekiel Elliott was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, just in a nutshell. But I think the one encouraging thing that people who kind of question Kirk Cousins' arm strength, you saw his arm strength, during 20 mile per hour win. and ring.
If you gotta watch the game, you gotta watch it in terms of like from the viewers. Like you, I mean, being at the game, he didn't play well. Like I'll say that he didn't play well. And arm strength is what it is. He has arm strength. I don't get into that talk.
You hear a lot of people saying that he lacks arm.
He has arm strength. I don't get into that talk. And to be honest with you, back in the day we saw Chad Pennington. He was a very efficient quarterback. Arm strength wasn't great at all. And he won games, right? And he was actually a top 10 quarterback at the time when he was playing for the Jets, right? So I don't get into arm strength unless you can do certain things with that, you know, with it anyway. But what I looked at it, how I looked at that game, special teams let that team down. Like they let the Redskins down. You had Chris Thompson with the fumble, the block kick, the missed extra point. There are things that this team did special teams wise that just put them in a hole. I thought the defense played well, depending on what they had to deal with.
What was it they had to deal with?
Fumbles, turnovers, block punt, like putting in bad situations again with the block punt,
okay,
block field
you.
Goal. They
you.
Were in a bad situation. Ezekiel Elliott still, he got busy. Ezekiel Elliott had over 150 yards and 150, 130, 150. No, it's 150. 150 yards. So
he won't be doing that anytime soon.
No suspension, but. That I cannot that the Redskins defense didn't stop, but I felt like in the passing game they shut down the wide receivers of Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams.
I don't think that's that hard to do though.
It's not. Yeah, I agree with you. I know what you're talking about. Like Dez is like the most overrated wide receiver now in football. In terms of what people think of him, you know, people will say he's elite.
Yeah,
reality is we've seen that Dez Bryant when he goes against a top tier cornerback, you don't hear his name. He went against Josh. I know against Josh Norman, and I can say this comfortably, against Josh Norman when they were lined up, Dez Bryant, I don't think he had a single catch against Josh Norman singled up. He had successful receptions, if you want to say that, against Dunbar, who played well as well.
Let me ask you, what do you think? Do you think that's due to the design of Dallas's offense, or do you think that's just him against elite cornerbacks?
Dez Bryant.
He isn't the Dez Bryant that he used to be.
Well, it's people have tape on Dez Bryant, and people will say that he's lost speed. I don't think he's lost that much speed. It's just that Dez Bryant is very limited in the route tree. I mean, you've seen it. You know, he's got about two routes that he runs. It's the go route, slant, wide receiver screen. Maybe three, wide receiver screen too as well. So when you're checking, when you're going against a Dez Bryant, you know, okay, if I body him up, I have a chance to be successful. You know, if I got to jam him, I got to be physical enough with Dez Bryant, I could be as successful. It's the guys who play off Dez Bryant are the individuals that Dez Bryant gets to eat. Like Patrick Peterson, he can't really kill Patrick Peterson because Patrick Peterson's physical and he's athletic. Josh Norman's physical and he knows how to get out of his breaks. So it works for Josh Norman. Guys like Janoris Jenkins, who else am I forgetting? Some of these other elite cornerbacks in the NFL. Even when he goes against Peterson, I think he's going to see Peters this weekend. Yeah, he'll see Peters this weekend from in Kansas City. So those are guys that I feel like will give Dez Bryant, you know, problems. But the Washington Redskins have cornerbacks that play physical, and I think that's what, you know, was an issue for the Dallas Cowboys, for Dez Bryant and the wide receiving team.
You said physical. Let's talk about the offensive line play.
For the Washington Redskins?
Yes.
You mean the
ravaged offensive line.
I call it the JV squad because that wasn't their offensive line. You had Trent Williams didn't play. Brandon Sheriff didn't play. Morgan Moses had to play on two bad ankles. They tried, though. They gutted it out. I mean, I don't think they were horrible, but it just wasn't the offensive line you're accustomed to seeing. I guess it would be more it was more impacted in the run game, but this run game they haven't had a run game the whole season, right?
Nope.
So
not that I can remember.
Yeah, exactly. I think Kirk Cousins had time. Did he have the same amount of time he would have had if his guys were healthy? No. I mean, and that's to be expected, right? But I thought Kirk Cousins had enough time to make plays. Watching that game, being there, being in attendance. And seeing it from like seeing
keep
the coverage.
No.
Because
let the people know. Listen, I want the people to know.
I was in the press box doing
okay.
Big things, and I'm gonna show y'all a clip with because Ray got to talk to Josh Norman, and he has a clip. I mean, Ray had an interview. He did the darn thing, and but
you got it. You feel better. You got it out of your system.
Yeah, I do. But I'm gonna say why I said being at the game though. You get to see the coverages, and you get to see where they rolled coverage to, and some of the decisions that Kirk Cousins makes, if they're good decisions or bad decisions. And a lot of times, in that game, regardless if you trust your wide receivers or not. That means that's neither here nor there. You still got to make plays, right? And you still got to put your guys in position to make plays. Josh Dotson, he dropped one. That's right. He dropped that bomb. But he had a lot of one-on-one plays. One-on-one. And when you're forcing the ball to other guys or throwing two-yard routes that are not going to get the first down, you got one-on-one. And as a quarterback, we always talk about guys, some of the quarterbacks we mentioned about taking it to the next level or taking it to the next level. Guys, you can put a team on their back. You got to see the matchup and go for it and give your guys an opportunity to make plays.
Well, obviously, maybe have you taken into consideration that Josh Doctson hasn't earned Kirk Cousins' trust yet?
But nobody has. And none of these guys, and the thing is, you're not going to be like, okay, for example, you think if that's Aaron Rodgers, he's worried about creating trust? If Aaron Rodgers sees man-to-man coverage, he's gonna put you in a position to make plays. This is the thing. It's coverage. Your coverage dictates what you're gonna do, right? If you're a great quarterback, it can dictate what you want to do. If you see man coverage, you're not gonna force the ball to say a two-yard route that's short of the first down, like by five yards or seven, right? You're gonna make the play. You're gonna try to go for the first down. Like the prime example, even the last play, the pick six, right? Then one that he threw high and, you know, Thompson dropped it. A cowboy in front of the car, took it to the house. Josh Dawson had
I gave up. Okay. At a certain point.
So Josh Dawson had man coverage on quarter's defense. Man coverage. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to give your guys an opportunity to make plays. And Kirk Cousins in that game didn't. Again, I'm not putting it all on Kirk Cousins because I don't think everybody deserves fault. The wide receivers let him down. They dropped. How many passes did they drop? Grant dropped the pass. Josh Dotson dropped that key bomb. So, you know, you had guys letting them down. I'm not going to knock Kirk Cousins for that. I don't think for anybody to blame Kirk Cousins for that game is ridiculous to me. I just think that, you know, everybody had their hands in it.
I think you got to go back to Pryor.
Go back to Pryor to what? Give him a chance?
Yeah. What do you have to lose?
Dude, I agree. Like, again, Ryan Grant's another example. Like, Ryan Grant is making plays for everybody, what everyone calls about making plays. He's catching 10-yard passes and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. But in the NFL, to be a good offense, what do you need in terms of receivers?
You need a big physical
explosive receiver.
Yeah.
Regardless, a vertical threat. Regardless of what you think about Pryor dropping the football, he is a vertical threat. All right. Like we said this before. Give me a threat, right? Knowing that I can intimidate a defense.
On the outside? Your only threat.
Yeah, it's your only threat. I mean, Josh Dotson is a threat, but he's the only proven threat because he did it last year, right? So you have taped the scene that Terrell Pryor has done it before. And don't forget, this is the same guy last season when the Redskins played the Cleveland Browns, he was giving Josh Norman fits. If you can give Josh Norman fits, who's one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL, that means you have talent, right?
True.
So give him an opportunity. His upside is still far better than, say, a Ryan Grant.
Yeah, but at what point do you say, okay, we got to stop with the development and we got to get out here and win some games? Because, be honest with you, the Dallas game was one of the games in the, you know, the five games that we mentioned.
Yeah.
Was one of the ones you definitely could have had that you needed.
You needed, yes. Code red. That was a code red game.
You said it.
It was a cold red game, man. That was a cold red game. That's the game that now it looks like, you know, season doesn't look as good as, you know, as fans would hope.
Oh, it's definitely. It's over.
See, I kind of think so, too.
Seattle, you go to Seattle next
week. Exactly. See,
and then you come back home.
So wasn't that cold red? So wasn't that cold red?
You have in the New Orleans games, that's not a easy victory anymore, you know?
It's not easy victory. That's a freaking... No. That team's looking like they're going to play the playoffs.
Yeah, but I will say I think the Minnesota game is a game it's a winnable game just because they can't they don't really score enough.
Oh, okay, I get your point. That's a good point. You know, but I mean the defense. If you're saying the defense can hold down that Minnesota offense.
Yes.
You know,
well,
if healthy,
I mean
enough,
no.
Right?
Well, I'll say you can contain the quarterback, the wide receivers that they have on the outside. They have a great group. Not gonna say great, but a very good group of wide receivers.
Well, I mentioned that the defense balled against the Cowboys. Ray got to talk to Josh Norman, so take a listen to the clip.
Yo, man, regardless of the injuries, turnovers, y'all gave y'all the defense, you gave the team a chance to win. So you got to feel good about that going into next week.
Yeah, I mean, we did, but at the end of the day, you know, that's just, we did, man. All three phases went on the same page, and that sucks when that don't happen. But one struggling, two struggling, that one that is doing good, we got to find a way to make a play. And we just didn't have enough of those to give back to the offense and when they really needed the most, so I can't really take it out on them because we got a whole front line hurt. So we got guys that came in off the street and they've been doing good just for the first time. It's tough to play in this league when you have no continuity amongst your line. It really is. And then the special teams, we, you know, laid egg. And at the end of the day, we got to have those guys to pull our strengths up, and which they will, and that stuff happens. So at the end of the day, we just got to understand that, man.
Yeah, well, sorry. Just hopping in, you know, trick-or-treating and all that good stuff going on tonight. But that was my interview with Josh Norman, and I got the sense off camera and off microphone that Josh was frustrated with the offense because you get a big turnover, start the game, you can't capitalize. And after that, you also have a blocked field goal that turns into Dallas points. You're hurting your defense, who played an excellent game when you can't put points on the board and you're blowing opportunities.
Well, let me ask you this. You said you kind of gave us a little nugget there. You said that you sensed off camera that he's growing frustrated with the offense. Do you think if the offense keeps failing to produce points when the defense is giving a solid effort, that can bring dissension between the team?
Well, I think it depends on how they communicate. At this point, it sounds like, well, from what I observed, and Wally, you can chime in, you were there, the defensive guys look like they're close. They look like they can communicate with each other. Even when somebody is criticizing someone, we heard them laughing, you know, and joking on some people who missed tackles. And also, they were identifying things that they could get better on. But from an offensive side, I don't know. Did you see, outside of Chris Thompson, did you see many offensive guys talking to one another? They look like they couldn't wait to get out of there.
No, they were, I mean, it's a loss, so they're all frustrated. Chris Thompson's pretty much a stand-up dude.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the defense is definitely closer. It's a closer unit.
Right.
You could tell, though. They've always been that way. The secondary, the linebackers, they're real close. They pull for each other even when guys are down. I'm with you, though. Like when you said in the game, when you're talking to Josh Norman, I think the defense should be proud of the way they played. Other than not stopping the run, I think what they had to deal with, That was a good effort. They, in the beginning of the game, they created a turnover.
Right.
And they only got 3 points out of it. And that's kind of been
three straight passes.
Yeah. And that's
three straight
passes. Yeah. And that's kind of been a theme for this team right now, is that, you know, the defense creates a turnover and the offense doesn't take advantage of it. So, if I'm a defensive player, I'm frustrated at that, of course. And especially if you get like a turnover that puts the defense in a bind, regardless of the special teams or the offense causes it, that looks bad on the defensive stats.
And Will, the offense was focused on injuries. That's all they kept focusing on was, man, we so banked up. We missing this person. We missing that person. I've never seen nothing like this. We lost two tight ends in the beginning of the game. That's all they kept talking about.
So you think you think that they were defeated before they even stepped on the field?
I think
to a certain extent.
Jake Gruden sounded that way. It sounded that way with Jake
Gruden.
They
did. And then another thing was, after that block field goal, I think that deflated the entire team.
What Will said.
That's funny, yeah, because you guys, you know, of course, like Wally said, you guys were in the press box at the game.
Early, son. In the building, early, son.
But just watching the game on TV, and I saw, you know, the block field goal, and I saw the body expression. Language. I was looking at the body language. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see how they would react, because it was still a very close game,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was a game that, myself personally, I didn't give them a chance to win, and I thought there would be a blowout from the opening whistle. But they fought, and it was still a close game. But when I saw that black field goal, I just knew the body language is just one of, we were defeated.
Yeah, see, I picked the Cowboys too, but I picked the Cowboys in the sense of they're going to outscore the Redskins in the fourth quarter. I thought that they could, you know, potentially get like a game-winning drive, because the Redskins' offense is good enough to exploit that bad secondary, in my opinion. And then you got on the offensive side of the ball, Jason Witten, who usually kills the Redskins. He didn't do anything.
About 31 yards. Hit like 37 yards.
Des Bryant didn't do anything. Zeke was the killer this week with that awesome offensive line they have. And I think the weather played a role in that. But the defense, even with being deflated, still played a good second half. Kirk didn't show up to play. I think the offensive line, because of the injuries, had its challenges. And ultimately, the play calling was bad because you didn't go downfield. They couldn't convert on third downs. And they wouldn't run the ball. Yeah. You can't win in this league without running the ball.
Not even trying, though. Without even trying.
Exactly.
You got to just try.
I think that goes back to what you just pointed out. And I think it was Wally that mentioned. Jay Gruden was probably defeated going in. And that's why he didn't want to run the ball, because he felt like the injuries were going to, you know, hinder their ability to do so.
Real quick, with the loss, though, are the Redskins playoff hopes over?
No.
No, I don't think the playoff hopes.
You just said season was over.
No, I said that you have three games, which mm-hmm. I think this is murderer's row for you. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to get a win at Seattle.
Yeah. But that pretty much means it's over if you ain't winning.
Well, no, I mean you can win the Minnesota. I think that you can outscore Minnesota.
Okay.
And then you have to go into New Orleans, and I think that Drew Brees, the way that they're running the ball, and Drew Brees, the way he's passing it around.
And defense, their defense is improved.
Yeah, the defense is much improved.
Moment. Yeah,
but,
at the moment.
But can we at least give some credit to the Redskins that all these games are winnable? Because Seattle's not the Seattle. We talked about that Sunday.
Yeah, they're not.
Seattle's not the Seattle
you still,
yet the year.
I agree. I agree with that. I just don't think this offense has shown that they can score against a team like Seattle.
You're right. You're right. But this Seattle, the difference between the previous Seattle teams where they wanted to bruise you up front by running the ball. This team is airing the ball out and scoring a lot of points. Not a lot of points, but this team is scoring more
offensively
points than they have previously.
That
defense isn't what it is, but they still, you know, they're going to have Dwight Freeney this week. They're going to have, they're going to have a better left tackle with Dwayne Brown. And I forgot there's one other guy who's coming back for the defense who I'm not sure.
It's not Earl Thomas, right?
No, Earl Thomas is out. Earl Thomas is out. He'll probably be out this game. That's big. That's as big as anything.
As a individual and as a member of the media that is following his team and reporting on his team, I at least want to see them.
So you're the media now?
Yes.
I love this
dude,
right?
I'm not a fan of the Redskins. I just want to point that out. That's what I'm trying to differentiate.
I
want to see them competitive. I don't care if you win in Seattle or not, to be honest. But you can't go in there and lay an egg. You need to, like you did in the Chiefs, at Kansas City against the Chiefs.
We'll continue to Seattle Seahawks talk after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray, Will, and myself, Wally. I mentioned before the break, you know, time to talk about the Seattle Seahawks. Before we get to that, Kirk Cousins, his market could be a little hindered. The San Francisco 49ers made a trade to get Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo, how you say Garoppolo?
Garoppolo.
Garoppolo.
You got it.
Garoppolo.
You got it.
Thank you.
Garoppolo.
Thank you. Garoppolo for what's a second round pick?
Second round pick.
How's
2018.
That? I know. So how does that hurt? Does that hurt Kirk Cousins' market?
Absolutely not. Because you know why? There's another team that has $63 million that is on track to make the playoffs, and they play in a state where it's tax free, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's one. There's also Jacksonville is probably the ideal. Jacksonville's the ideal.
You have Jacksonville.
Oh, the Denver Broncos. To be honest with you,
Jacksonville, the Denver Broncos, the Arizona Cardinals. You also have. What about this? What if Bill Belichick thinks that Tom Brady is at the end of his? Is at the end of his line, and he says, "Okay, I'm gonna go sign Kirk Cousins."
We know that's not happening.
And keep this thing moving.
But he doesn't. That won't happen. and Coach Belichick doesn't spend that much money on quarterbacks.
Then you also have the Jets.
Because he would have paid for Garoppolo.
Yeah. Then you also have the Jets. Then you have Minnesota.
Aren't the Jets winning with McCown?
Nah, Minnesota's not in the market for a quarterback. They're getting ready to have this back soon.
Well, they have Teddy
Bridgewater. I hope so.
I don't think they picked up the fifth-year option for Teddy Bridgewater.
I'm not 100% sure. I don't think so. I'm not sure either. But, yeah.
And then you also, you know, and then on top of that, what's his name, the quarterback now from Minnesota? Sam Bradford. He's always injured.
Yeah. Always.
I mean, Minnesota's definitely an option.
Maybe Pittsburgh. I heard about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, if he retires, yes. If he retires. So maybe they'll go in-house. You know, Pittsburgh likes to work in-house.
True.
They do like to work in-house. Anyway, to the Reds and Seattle Seahawks game, with all the injuries from the offense, can this offense score against that Seattle defense?
Without Earl Thomas, definitely.
Okay.
This isn't the Seattle defense when they were going to back-to-back Super Bowls. This defense is a little bit older. The cornerback play isn't the Legion of Boom that back four was what made them feared. They don't strike the same amount of fear in offenses anymore. So, can they win this game? Yes. Will they win this game? No.
It's hard for this team defensively because we talked about how their defense did look good against the. I'm talking the Redskins defense did look good against the Cowboys, but. This is a different tight end that they're going to see in Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham, to me, is the type of tight end that gives this team fits because, you know, he's athletic, he's fast, he can jump, runs decent routes. So that's a matchup that could hinder the Washington Redskins because we saw what happened when they saw Zach Ertz. So just imagine what Jimmy Graham can do.
I'm concerned about injuries. I know that sounds pretty obvious, but again, not to, you know, beat a dead horse, but we were in the locker room. We saw there's more guys injured than what this.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot.
Josh Norman is, in fact, still injured, and he's playing. I mean, I know a lot of teams in the league play with injuries. I'm sure Seattle.
But the Redskins are doing something more with anything right now. They're doing a lot. It's ridiculous, to be honest with you.
So that's my primary concern because I think that a healthy Skins group or even halfway healthy Skins group can beat the Seattle Seahawks. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pick the Redskins this week because I think Seattle is just, again, not the same team that they are. And this is one of those Jeff Fisher type games that Seattle will lose.
I mean, Russell Wilson's playing quarterback at a high level right now.
Yeah,
he's playing the best. I mean, he's projected to what? Have 4,500 yards and like 30-something touchdowns.
Last week, about 452 yards passing.
Four touchdowns and an interception.
It's crazy, man. Look at what
one game.
It is one game, but he's.
What do you call that aberration? Right? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'll be tough, but anyway, it's about time for a break. When we get back from break, we'll have.
Did you pick? Oh, that's what? Right. We're gonna do it in the picks. My fault.
Wait, what's wrong? We're gonna do it in the picks, man. My bad.
Shoot. I got a halo.
We'll have boxing expert Derek Dog Matthews. You listen to the Urban Sportsman. You listen to the Urban Sports thing
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Two cups, toast up with the game, from food or maybe I drive anything. Buy my range, make them go insane. DJ SDLC.
I got a halo. I level up every time God says so. Shoot on payroll. Looking like Pancho, looking like Pedro. From Tarzan. 10 dividend go grow when I say grow. Kung Fu Kenny with the mind's touch. Ain't no penny that I don't touch. Y'all my enemy bite on dust. Ain't no talking when it's fatal. Having hard, I can't tell.
Wait.
Half of y'all might need help.
Wait.
I might fall in Rodale. I might ball in Australia. I might call a folk rail. All I ask go unveil. Wind blows in the windows and I smack in with a big glow. She got me like info. Know who it's in for. Plan them. Gotta look at self and ask what happened. How y'all let a conscious go commercial while only making conscious albums? How y'all let the braids on TV? How y'all let the hood at the table? Now y'all don't even know how to rate them. Looking like I'm a creative player. Everybody who didn't pay respect, gotta fess up now and pay your debts. Gotta lay something down to make a threat. Gotta say something now, don't hold your breath. How you mean I ain't floating? I got the salt, got the potion. I got them all like emotions and emotions. I put career in the oceans and put the body in the ocean. I made an oath when my told me to go in. Then he died on a cold bench. All my old friends living life on a slow end. Gotta keep rolling. It's due.
It's due. It's due. It's due.
I done fucked so much I can't sleep. I done fucked so much I'm retired. I'm about to live my life today free. She said she broke down when Prince died.
It's all right.
My hair down, Prince lived to me.
I am.
Get your ass up and be inspired. You know how many bodies in the street. Take the mask off so you can see.
Percocet, yeah, Molly Percocet, be it firm. Percocet, yeah, Molly Percocet, be it firm. Represent, yeah, gotta represent.
Urban Sports Scene, we're back. Ray, Wally, Will T in the building. Right now, joining the Urban Sports Scene, we got Derek Dog Matthews. He's out of Northeast DC, man. Riggs Park, that's a community that helped raise me, man. Kennedy Street and Madison, man. Derek Dog Matthews, what's up, man? Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene.
Hello?
Can you
hear me? Yeah, sorry. Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene.
What's up, bro?
I can't hear you too good.
Can you hear me now? Is that better? All right, man. Well, welcome to the show, man. We're talking about the Anthony Joshua fight. But first, man, before we you know, provide our analysis and hear your piece on the Joshua fight, we just want to, you know, give our listeners a chance to get to know who you are, man. So just introduce yourself and talk about your man, Batavian B. Scotland, man, who you used to train with and mentor.
My name is Derek Dog Matthews. I come from Riggs Park, Northeast Washington, D.C., and I was a good local amateur boxer for the Golden Gloves. Missed the Olympics by a little bit in 80, you know, got almost had a chance to fight Breland. And, you know, I had a few professional fights, but I was training a kid named David B. Scotland, and he almost made it. He was one of the top amateurs in the area. He also fought in the Olympic trials, and he had a bad injury in a fight on Tuesday night fights, and he went into a coma, and he passed away about 6 days later. And I was his mentor and trainer, and, you know, I helped raise him. And, you know, I kind of shied away from the game after that. I didn't coach anymore.
Okay.
And I just do private lessons now, you know, for kids, you know, sometimes. And, you know, I just try to move on from it. And that's basically what happened.
Absolutely. Wanted to ask you real quick, though, man, moving forward. We're going to get back to some of our fighters here in the DMV that I'm sure you follow now. I know also I saw a picture of you and Sugar Pooh at one point together. He was on ESPN at one point on The Contender. But
yeah, Sugar Pooh, that's my man. I used to spar with him. I also was a sparring partner of several of the local world champions. And, you know, Sugar Pooh was a guy we thought was going to win the world title.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I definitely was a fan back in the day. Just a few years ago, not back in the day, but Anthony Joshua, heavyweight champ, he defeated Carlos Takam on Saturday, man. What were your thoughts on the fight, and you think he can beat Deontay Wilder, man? We want to ask you that.
Well, you know, he's a big guy, Anthony Joshua. But I met Wilder. I was at the Redskins game last year, and when they played New York, the Giants a couple of years ago, and I met Wilder. Man, he is huge. This guy has a long reach. So I believe it's going to be a pretty even fight. But this kid, Joshua, is a big, strong kid, man. He reminds you of Foreman, you know, and he comes off real nice, you know, smiles and everything. But he's a killer in there, man. I think England got one on us this time. You know, this guy, Anthony Joshua, is the real deal, I believe. But I like Wilder, and I believe if they fight, that's going to be a pretty even fight. I might lean towards Wilder because I believe we are sharper here in America. You know, our gyms are, you know, just more educating the fighters than over there. I think that Wilder would win when they fight each other.
Hey, how's it going, Derek? This is Will. I have one question. A follow-up question about the Anthony Joshua and Carlos Takam fight. A lot of people were upset. A lot of the audience, if you watched the fight, was upset about the what's considered the early stoppage in the fight with Carlos Takam. Do you think that – for you personally as a former trainer, do you err on the side? Do you agree with the referee and give them the discretion to come in when they see a fighter
right.
Yeah, when they
well,
see... No, go ahead.
Well, especially now, you know, after what I've been through, I definitely say he stopped at the right time, you know. But before what happened to be, before experiencing that, I may have thought it was a premature stoppage because the guy still was, you know, moving his head and trying to defend himself. But you got to understand, the referee's looking at this big monster, and he's wailing on this guy. He was almost defenseless, and it's always better sooner. So, yeah, I think they did him a favor because he was going to do him in anyway.
So, hey, Derek, this is Wally. So my question, is about Canelo Triple G. It's part two. Do you expect it to be a better fight the second time compared to the first time? And if so, who do you think's going to win? Would win that fight?
Yeah, I believe the second time is going to be the real deal. I think the first time they both appear to be holding back somewhat. And we all know this is business, you know. You know, they need to have a second fight. So if they don't hold back a little bit, they probably would have decided to win it then. So, you know, I definitely expect a better fight the second time. I think Alvarez is a better boxer myself, but Triple G has that eraser, you know, he has that power. I would think Alvarez will win.
I agree with that. Recently, Ricky Hatton and Winky Wright, they were named finalists for the Boxing Hall of Fame. You think they're worthy?
You said Ricky Hatton?
Ricky Hatton and Winky Wright. They were both named finalists, for the Boxing Hall of Fame.
I know Winky, you know, he's just from here. And I know Winky, he's a good guy, and he definitely belongs in there. And yeah, sure, put Ricky Hatton in there. He was a two-time world champion, I believe.
He got dropped.
You know, he made quite a name for himself and England. You know, they don't have such a big name over here anymore, you know, so far as the fighters concerned. So, you know, yeah, for England to get him in there, yeah, I agree.
You remember what Floyd and Pacquiao did to Hatton?
Yeah, I mean, they both, but Hatton was a
the hitman.
Yeah, he was the get hit man.
Floyd's best in the business. And I was surprised that Floyd knocked him out that way, to be honest with you.
Nah, Floyd Hanspeed was just something out of this world, man. Was something that you don't see very often. So that's not the best way to define Ricky Hatton's career. You know, so many went down in the hands of Floyd Mayweather.
he was probably, you know, he was, you know, that was probably one of his last fights. You know what I mean? He's a pretty good trainer now over in England.
Yeah, I heard. I heard too. I heard he's a real good trainer.
Yo, man. But back here, you know, closer to home, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, we had Jared Hurd recently. He looked impressive in his last fight against Austin Trout. Also, Lamont Peterson, it was announced that same night that he's going to be taking on Errol Spence. I just want to get your thoughts on our current boxers in this D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. And what do you think about the landscape of boxing moving forward here in D.C.?
It's looking good for us, man. I mean, I watched Lamont grow up. You know, him and D was amateurs together. And, you know, they supported each other coming up as amateurs. And I watched Lamont grow into a great champion. And I think he's going to surprise a lot of people against Errol Spence. You know, I know this kid is sharp, but they kind of anointing him already. And I think this is a dangerous fight for Errol Spence. And people are going to see that Lamont can box with the best of them in the world. And, as far as Hurd, you know, I'm very impressed with him as a young fighter. I only saw him this year, and I saw him when he demolished the kid from New York. I forget his name right now, but he man, he's something, man. He's a powerful fighter, and reminds me a little of Robinson a little bit, the way he has, you know, and they're doing a good job with him, and he's a force to be reckoned with, most definitely. Those Charlo brothers are something to do, and I think when he fights one of those, they're going to see that D.C. is still here.
Yeah, I'm hoping that in the future we can land a big fight at the MGM. I know we had Gary Russell. He's been a guest on our show as well. But, you know, we haven't had that marquee fight yet, huh?
Yeah, that's the fastest hands in boxing right there.
Agreed.
Watch him.
Why will he?
He was shadow boxing like a grown man when he was a little boy. He used to bring him to the fight. I'm friends with his dad. And, that kid is something special right there. So, yeah, they definitely holding D.C. boxing scene down. And I expect them to be champ for a while.
So, back to Lamont Peterson. So, what do you think? You know, because Errol Spence is like, you know, obviously he's a lot of folks. Some folks have him close to being pound for pound. That's how much they like him.
Yeah, I think it's so premature. And but he is sharp, man. He's he's one of the best fighters in the world right now, and he hasn't even done anything yet. He just got his book. But he just, you know, people know it when they see it, and he definitely looks to be all of it. But I just think that people overlooking Lamont's power and boxing ability and his experience, and I think Spencer is a real aggressive fighter. He comes forward a lot, you know, and it may play into Lamont's boxing ability.
Could you?
If he listens to Barry, you know, Barry's is a great trainer, and. If he listens to Barry, he's gonna be a serious problem for Errol Spence.
Could you see the winner of this fight maybe trying to fight somebody like a Bud Crawford?
Yeah, I could see that. Which again, Lamont would be a problem for him too because of his height and reach and speed. I mean, but you know, I like Bud though. Bud's tough, but he's coming up. We're gonna see if he can bring that power with him to the bigger guys. It does make a difference, you know.
Yo, I got one more question. I just said his name. Why is it escaping me now?
Who?
That was on our show.
Gary Russell Jr.
When Gary Russell was on the show, he said that he was going to end his career against Lomachenko to avenge that loss. He said that's going to be his last fight. Lomachenko has been on the come up ever since he defeated Gary Russell. Do you think that's a smart move? And, you know, what's your prediction of the outcome of that fight, potentially a part two?
I believe Gary, the first time they fought, he wasn't 100%. I don't think he was himself. He didn't look as, you know, himself. And I believe he can do better, and I think he can with Lomachenko, but I think Lomachenko is moving on. You know, I don't think he wants to fight Gary. I think Gary will have a hard time getting a chance to fight him because he's trying to move up out of the weight. You know what I mean? He's moving up.
You should be like Pacquiao.
Wait, he's moving up. I'm not sure Gary can move up that high You know what I mean? So I think I'm saying that's going to be his last fight because I believe he's going to probably dominate the weight classes that he moves to and then jump up there to a heavier weight and fight Lomachenko. That's why I believe he's saying that because, he, you know, sort of like what Ray did when he jumped up there and fought Hagelin. You know, he, even though he had fought bigger guys, that was a dangerous big guy, you know what I mean? And I think Lomachenko is one of the best fighters in the world, though. I watch him, and the head moves. He's like he does everything. He's like a machine. They call him high tech. That's what people in boxing call him high tech.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, they say he's flawless, man. Definitely.
Yeah, he is, you know, but, I mean, it depends on what night, you know. But if we can get Gary in there with him and he's 100%, I don't see how Lomachenko can get away from this kid. This kid is... speed is amazing, and his dad teaches him something, some kind of, I don't know what it is, man, but something about them Russells, man, that they got that southpaw thing down pat, man, and they got some kind of, something different that people haven't seen. I mean, I don't know. I believe that Lomachenko's smart, he's going to keep moving up. That's what he's going to do.
All right, man, well, we appreciate the insight. You know, you're a historian of the game, and we got to get you back on the show sometime, man. This was good first time.
Hey, man, it's good to talk boxing with you guys.
Well, we appreciate it.
I think we appreciate you, brother.
All right, take it easy, man.
Have a good night, man.
All right.
All right, it's always cool having, you know, talking to somebody who knows the game, man. The sweet science, like Will T does.
That's what it's called, the sweet science.
Like, you know, because Will T is like,
it's
bro.
Just also good to know the DMV's on the come up. You know what I mean?
We all want to come up. I mean, we got the boxing game. You know, we are. I mean, I've always, you know, I think once Lamont, you know, beat Amir Khan, it was like, okay, you know, we here. We arrived.
I think that we got to have that signature fight, MGM, you know, pay-per-view people.
No, it wouldn't be a fight at the MGM pay-per-view. It's too small. Too small. I think it's only 3,000
seats. Ain't big enough yet. It's still, we'll still be good enough. I mean,
Verizon,
we'll just have it at HBO. I mean, yeah, you could still have a good fight at HBO, like a good regular HBO fight, absolutely. And still could be the same. There have been some great HBO fights. There have been classics. They have graduated to like another tour pay-per-view.
People fail and forget that we already had a classic in RFK 1992 when you had Roy Jones Jr. versus Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah, so
on the undercard of Riddick Bowe versus Jesus.
No,
don't mention that.
Golovkin. I'm saying Golovkin.
I forgot.
The dude who hits below the belt. Yeah. What is this? He passed. He passed, right?
No.
He's still alive.
Oh, yeah, Riddick Bowe? He got brain damage.
No, not Riddick Bowe. The guy he fought, the Russian. He's like a Russian. The dude that hits, you know, was hitting low blow.
I'll have it when we come back. The low blow dude.
Good discussion. No, I was going to say, don't mention that Bernard Hopkins. He hates.
Who hates Bernard Hopkins?
Bernard Hopkins does not like Roy Jones. He hates the fact that he lost to him in
the
fight.
Oh, yeah, he does. He with a passion.
But we'll see. I know Verizon, we had the Tyson fight at Verizon.
Andrew Golota.
There we go.
We had the Tyson fight at Verizon. Oh, it was MCI back then. Whatever. And that didn't last long.
No, it didn't.
So we need a big fight with one of our hometown fighters.
Anyway, man, it's about time for our week 9 NFL picks. You listen to the Urban Sports thing.
For age.
You dig?
Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. This born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this. What shouts you a new weapon? I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that put the kiss to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon. I serve. Yeah, that's him again. The sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work. I know just who you are. See, use a. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch. Heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist. Burn on side a jellyfish, I gauge. See, my pedigree most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you. This is Barla's oldest son. I know murder, convict.
conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead, redemption, scholars, fathers, dead, with kids, and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah, soldiers, DNA. Born inside the beast, my expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale hotel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've done so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the f*** you heard? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff from the pleader's case. The reason my power was here.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Will T. Ray. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and give us some feedback. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a NFL Pick'em Challenge with them every week. Last week, Will T went 9-4. Ray went 10-3. I went 7-6. In comparison, the Football Garbage Times, Joanne and Scott went 9-4, and Hakun Wong went 11-2. Our overall records: Will T is 69-50. Ray is 67-52, and I'm last 62-57. But you got something to say? You staring at me, bro.
Just an amazement that you're just that bad at this.
Right now? Hey, don't worry about it. Comebacks, man. Don't make me come back. You know what I'm saying? Let me sleep, man. Let me sleep. Anyway.
Well, you picked Cleveland last week. That was hard.
That was real dudes do real things. Yeah, no one can say nothing.
I can't even argue with you.
You know what I mean?
I picked Cleveland and the Jets last week.
You pick Cleveland. I don't care. Well, anybody. That's enough. You don't got a name too.
Beat the Falcons, right?
Yep.
Oh.
But look. You pick Cleveland, dog. You pick Cleveland. Dude. You pick Cleveland. You pick Cleveland. Like, you got heart. Like, nobody gonna ever judge that now. So Ray, you apologize.
Cleveland has a bye week this week.
Did you apologize or to Will? Because you've always said like Will.
I should. I said last week that was a good pick. I don't need to say sorry for not picking. He didn't pick tough games in the past. Now he does.
I always pick tough. Yes, I did, because I picked the Rams over.
Who, Jeff Fisher's Rams?
I picked the Rams over the Cowboys. And the
I
Cowboys
did that too.
For no, this, a 7-point favorite.
This year you've been doing it. Yeah. I'm talking about last year.
All right, let's see him continue the trend, man. Let's see him continue the trend. Bills versus the Jets.
Pick first, though. He thinks everybody's trying to steal his pick.
Oh, that's right. Bills versus the Jets.
I'll go first. Give me Buffalo.
Yeah, they made trades. They got Kelvin Benjamin now.
And they got rid of Marcel Darius.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take Buffalo, because I picked against Buffalo this week against the Raiders, and I regretted that one.
Yeah, me too. I regret that too. I'm picking Buffalo. Get Colts versus Texans. It's in Houston.
In Houston?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, give me the Texans.
Yeah, give me the Texans. Colts versus Texans, dude.
I know, I'm thinking about it, man. I'll take Houston. I'll go with the safe pick on this one.
Bengals versus,
I like the Colts.
I know, right? Bengals versus Jaguars in Jacksonville. This is a tough one for me. I'm going to choose the...
I'm going with Cincinnati.
I want to choose Cincinnati.
I'll take Jacksonville.
I'm gonna take Jacksonville. Buccaneers versus the Saints in New Orleans. I hate the Saints.
Oh, give me the Saints.
I'm picking the Bucs. I just don't like the Saints. Something about Drew Brees annoys me. I'm picking the Saints. I'm choosing the Bucs. Who you got?
I'll take the Bucs.
Rams versus the Giants in New York.
I'm going with the Rams.
Rams.
Even though I typically don't pick the West Coast team coming to East.
Give me the Giants.
All right. Why? How come? Okay, oh, like the late, because you
they, the
like,
travel.
They travel, the travel, they're ragged, and
I'll take
tired.
The Giants in that one.
Falcons versus the Panthers in Carolina. I picked the Rams.
Okay.
Sorry, my bad. If I didn't say Rams, I'm sorry. Falcons versus the Panthers in Carolina. Ray, you picking the Falcons? We already know.
I don't think I'm going that way today.
What? I'm taking the Panthers. I know who I'm picking, but
I'm going with Atlanta to win this one.
I'll take the Panthers.
Whoa, okay. Real dudes doing real things. Broncos versus the Eagles in Philly. This is a tough one.
Philadelphia. They have Jay Ajayi now. With Blunt. Give me smoke that blunt.
This is Philly. Where's the game?
Philly.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'll take Philly.
Plus, you're probably going to have a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, okay, I'm taking the Eagles. Yeah, thank you.
Luke Kuechly is back, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Ravens versus the Titans in Tennessee. I'm going to go with the Titans. Yeah, I'm going with Titans. I'm comfortable with Titans. I'm going with Titans. They're physical. They might beat you up.
I'm going to go with the Ravens.
It's Flacco. Flacco will be back, right?
No, probably not. I'll take the Titans, too.
Cardinals versus the Niners. They're going to have... Well, Garoppolo ain't starting this game. So we still be probably Beathard. Probably still be CJ Beathard.
I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
I'm going to Cardinals. Drew Stanton's the quarterback, right? Yeah, Drew Stanton's going to be the quarterback. I'll still go to the Cardinals. I'm good with that.
Where's the game?
It's in San Francisco.
I'll take San Fran.
My man Ray. Always doing real things. Redskins versus the Seahawks in Seattle.
Oh. I'm going with Seattle.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Seattle.
Seattle.
I thought you said you were going
to pick Redskins. I picked the Redskins this week, but I didn't pick the Falcons.
I know this is crazy. It's crazy.
I might change the Falcons pick right before 1 o'clock.
You're doing now. Chiefs versus the Cowboys.
Oh, this is going to be a good game.
I got the Chiefs.
It's going to be a good game. Oh, yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs. Ezekiel's going to be suspended.
Is he?
Yeah, it looks like it. It really looks like
you
it.
Never know this
I mean,
guy,
he's not going to get an injunction before Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll take the Chiefs as well.
Raiders versus the Dolphins in Miami.
Miami is 4-3, but has a minus 60 point differential.
That's deep, bro.
It is. And Derek Carr has been struggling.
No, he had a good game against the Chiefs. I don't know what happened this past week.
I mean, he hasn't been consistent. Well, let me replace struggling with consistent.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to go with Oakland because Miami gave away their best offensive player.
Agreed. I'm going with Oakland. Give me the Raiders, not Las Vegas. Give me Oakland.
I'll go with the Raiders, son.
Lions versus the Packers. Monday night in Green Bay. He had a bye week to work with the quarterback.
I don't trust that guy.
I don't trust Brett Hundley. I don't trust Mike McCarthy. Give me the Detroit Lions.
I'm with Will on this one. I'll take the Lions.
Real dudes do real things. You know the Packers, man.
I think that's a good pick.
You know what I mean? I'm gonna go with the Packers. I need to come back.
The Lions are struggling right now.
They are, but I still don't trust.
He had a bad game when he started.
Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay over the past few years has struggled like in the middle of the season for some reason.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, easily.
But
yeah,
Aaron Rodgers has propped up that whole franchise for the last 7 to 8 years.
No, I agree. So it's gonna be tough. But anyway, it's about time to close the show out. Any parting shots? Anything?
First, I want to send my condolences and prayers out to those who were affected by the terrorist incident in New York this afternoon. It's unfortunate that the times we live in this country. Islam is not a radical hatred religion. I wish that people who have those radical beliefs don't continue to perpetuate and make Islam seem as if something is not.
Agreed. But anyway, it's a great show. It's time to wrap it up. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
And make us lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.